This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Since 1965, the Cincinnati Boy Choir has been providing a music education for boys from throughout Cincinnati and has graduated some 4,000 alumni from the choir program. One of the premier professional boy choirs in the U.S., the Cincinnati Boy Choir reaches about 200 young men each year from more than 90 schools in Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana. Here to talk about the Cincinnati Boy Choir as it celebrates its 50th anniversary are Cincinnati Boy Choir Artistic Director Christopher Eanes, and Director of Education and Outreach, Kellyanne Nelson, and journalist Kathy Doan, author of the Cincinnati Boy Choir's 50-year history book, which is coming out next April. And you can join the conversation, 513-419-7100. Email your questions to talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Chris, tell us about the history of the Cincinnati Boy Choir and how it came to be.
Well, it's a really fascinating history, and one of the things that's so extraordinary about it is how we got our start, and I'm going to let Kathy talk about that in just a second. But also knowing that we're actually one of the oldest boy choirs in the country. There are just a few that have a longer history than we do. So we're very excited to celebrate that and celebrate the long tradition of boy choir singing.
Kellyanne, can you expand on the history some more for us?
Sure. Well, it's very exciting this year that we're going to be celebrating that history and that Kathy has written this amazing story with our book. So I'm going to actually let her talk a little bit about
that.
So
it's back to you, Kathy.
Okay. I'll take it from here. Well, interestingly enough, it used to be called the Cincinnati All-City Boys Choir. And it was founded by Bob McSpadden in 1965. And originally was formed to solve a problem. And that was Bob, who was actually the supervisor of music for Cincinnati Public Schools, was increasingly seeing that boys weren't coming out for high school choir. So his thought was that if he could get boys interested in elementary school by performing in a choir, that it would carry over into high school. So that's actually how it got going, and they did their first concert in April of 1965 for a schoolmaster's meeting down at the Netherland Hotel.
And Kathy, why did you get involved in writing a book about the choir?
Well, Chris asked me to. I had actually written about the boy choir twice before, way back in 1983 when the Enquirer had a Sunday magazine. I was on the staff, and I wrote a feature about them then. And then before the World Choir Games in 2012, I wrote a piece for the Enquirer about the boy choir because they took part in the World Choir Games. And after that, Chris was interested in having a book for the 50th anniversary, and I was very thrilled to be asked to do it, and it was great fun doing it.
Tell us about the research that's gone into writing the book.
Well, everything from spending a lot of time going blind in the library looking at microfilm, at old clippings that went back to the very beginning. One of the more fun parts was trying to track down some of the alumni from the early days, which I was able to do. Facebook makes that a lot easier than it would have been at one point in time. For instance, we were just talking about, I found the boy who, found the man, I should say, who was the boy in the 1972 May Festival production of Bernstein's Mass here in Cincinnati. And he's still local. He still lives local, Bruce Ford, and talked to him about that. So, talking to, obviously, former members, just getting in there and, doing a lot of legwork you do for any involved subject.
It does sound like it's a lot of fun, though.
It was.
All these people and interview, that's
well, just and just such a wonderful organization that's performed at such a high level for a long time.
as you can imagine, one of our challenges has been, you know, if you were a member of the boy choir in the 70s or 80s, you may have finished your career in eighth grade at that point, and then our only record of you is a little 4x6 note card with your name and your parents' address. So tracking down all of these alumni has been challenging for us, but we've got several initiatives in place to see how many we can find in preparation for the 50th.
Chris, what makes the Cincinnati Boy Choir so unique?
such a hard question to answer. I think what's truly tremendous about it is that boys' voices around the time that they're participating in the boy choir are truly professional level voices, that so much music over really the last 1,000 years was written for boy choirs, for that particular unique sound that they make at that age, which is fleeting, because eventually that voice is going to change. It's going to mature into an adult voice. So at the boy choir, one of the things that makes us unique is that very long tradition of traditional boy choir singing, but also the activities that the boys get to do while they're part of the group. How many, you know, 10 or 11-year-olds can say that they've been in a main stage production of the Cincinnati Opera, or on stage with the May Festival Chorus, or frankly have traveled the world as performers? And in addition to that, some of the collaborations that we have undertaken in recent years have really, I think, you know, provided an amazing experience for the boys. We have collaborations, again, with the large arts organizations around town, but also things you wouldn't quite expect and that we have undertaken just to see what the outcome is. Last year, we were the artistic partners of Elements, a hip-hop group on Central Park, and we had all sorts of fun experiences with them. We had hip-hop dancers performing to a jazz mass that we performed, and we actually ended up producing a couple songs in conjunction with them. So we try to keep it unique. We try to keep the experiences fresh and relevant for all of the kids today. But, you know, again, remembering that it's a very long history that we have.
Kellyanne, how would you describe the education that these boys are getting?
Well, that's been really exciting. So, you know, one of our missions is to reach as many boys as possible and meet them where they are. So right now we have programs that serve boys from age 6 to 66 all the way through. And, you know, at our youngest levels, we're really focusing on not only developing those beautiful voices, but also giving them music education. They can read the music. They experience it through games. They're playing. They're boys. They don't smell very good, but they sing really well and they love learning. So it's been really exciting that at our very youngest level with boy choir experience, everything is hands-on and dance-based and movement-based. And, you know, we have a six-week beginning program for first through fifth graders. Our core programs meet weekly, and there's actually a theory workbook curriculum that they're developing those skills in addition to the vocal skills that they're working on. We really have this pride in the fact that our boys are learning to read the music, and they're becoming smart puzzle makers and having a lot of fun as they learn that process. So that's been really exciting to kind of watch that grow and expand.
Kathy, what are some of the memorable events in the choir's history?
Well, certainly the performances, the collaborations with other arts organizations, the May Festival performances, the tours that they've done. I mean, forming an alliance in 2000 when they went to Vienna and sang with the Vienna Boys Choir. And actually, out of that experience, four boys in the next few years were chosen to be in the Vienna Boys Choir from the Cincinnati Boy Choir, which, you know, that is the gold standard.
That's impressive.
As it were, for boy choirs. Yeah. But, you know, just so many performances here. And, of course, the show must go on. One story that I came across that I thought proved that, because the boys are very resilient. They will they will perform. In 2004, there was a tour to Hawaii, and they performed with the Honolulu Boys Choir. They did Carmina Burana. And it was a very hot night. Well, the Honolulu Boys Choir perform in, you know, bare feet and Hawaiian shirts. The Cincinnati Boy Choir at that time had ties and coats and shirts buttoned up. Well, they started the performance, And one by one, Cincinnati Boys Choir members started going over like bowling pins. So they stopped the concert. No one was seriously hurt. They had a second performance the next night, and I understand that the boys shed their shoes and socks and ties and coats.
I would imagine so. Chris, talk about the various types of music that the choir is performing.
It's interesting you bring that up. The tradition of boy choir singing is one of the oldest in Western music. I mean, it literally goes back over 1,000 years, so we have so much music to pull from. That said, we try to find music which is going to be, both informative and educational for the boys, but also that audiences want to hear. So on any typical concert, you're going to hear music of Bach or Mozart mixed in with music that was written, 10 minutes ago. We have, for our 50th anniversary, commissioned a major work from a young composer from the University of Indiana that we're going to premiere. It's called A Horizon Symphony, and we came up with that title because we're interested in both looking backwards at our boy choir's history, but also looking forward at what's next. So it's a piece that's, calls for major orchestra and boy choir singing, but that looks forward. It's about adventure, and it's about creating a more meaningful life for yourself. So themes that really work for boys, that they latch onto, that they can understand and sing their hearts out for.
Well, I was going to ask you, how do the kids relate to the music, since it's not generally what they listen to as current popular music?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's the thing. Good music is good music, and we always live by that that idea. And, for example, this weekend the boys are performing part one of Handel's Messiah, and that's just, simply put, good music. So if you asked any one of them right now, what's your favorite thing to sing, they would all tell you it's Handel's Messiah.
One of the things that I think is really exciting is that the boy choir, when you hear boy choir, you think of angelic, boys singing in a church.
And like the music we heard at the beginning.
And that's certainly very important. We want to expose them to Handel and to Bach and to Mozart. But if you come to a boy choir concert, you're also going to hear gospel spirituals. You're also going to hear world music. And part of that is to reflect the depth and breadth of music that exists both in their lives and in this world. And also, the boy choir represents the depth and breadth of boys in this area. We have boys who come from different areas, who come from different socioeconomic backgrounds. Some boys come from schools with music programs, some don't, some take piano lessons, some don't. They just geek out and love music, right? And so it's been really exciting to find ways to take that traditional boy choir model, but flip it a little bit on its head, so that the boys have a chance to get inside of music that is both traditional and non-traditional, rhythmic, non-rhythmic, world music. It's been really exciting to just watch them grab a hold of that and watch our audiences develop with us and know that we are a boy choir that is moving into the 21st century.
Kellyanne, what kind of process does someone go through to become a member of the Cincinnati Boy Choir?
Sure. Well, there's a number of different ways that they can join the group. They can start with our boy choir experience. We have one every 6 weeks. There's no audition necessary. That's for first through fifth graders. They just sign up. The parents actually sit in the room with us, and they get to experience. If they want to audition for the group, they're ready for that weekly experience. We audition boys between second and sixth grades every 4 months. So our next audition is coming up Monday, January 12th, down at the Aronoff Center, where we are the newest resident company. And that audition consists of singing very difficult things such as Row, Row, Row Your Boat and Happy Birthday. We also then have a men's glee club for Changed Voices alumni, dads, community members, etc. They can also sign up just by jumping in and signing up at our website, cincinnatiboychoir.org. We also have two big events actually throughout the year where boys can participate and audition. One is our All City Boy Choir Festival. This year that'll be Saturday, February 21st. The boys get t-shirts and pizza, the most important part of boy choir, of course, and they get to come together with about 250 boys from throughout the city. They sing together. They can audition to be a part of the group. We also have a summer camp at Xavier University every summer where we take boys anywhere from second through eighth grade. They sing together and they can audition to be part of the choir at that point as well.
Wow, that's expansive.
I get really excited to talk about this. Can you tell?
Oh, yes, I can. It's nice to see that, actually. Kathy, what are some of the things that you've learned as you've been writing the book that you found very interesting and astounding about this group?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think, and I knew this on a certain level, but just the level of professionalism that has always characterized the group from the very beginning. And of course, it has a lot to do with the folks who lead it. And you know, the first, I would say the first 10, 15 years, they really had no budget. I mean, they were going on the, basically on the strength of the enthusiasm and commitment of Bob McSpadden. The only thing the school was really providing were some rehearsal spaces, and they allowed them to copy music. And aside from that, the director wasn't paid any extra to do the boy choir. And so I find that fascinating. I mean, it truly was out of a love. The other thing that I've continually talked to everyone I've, especially in administrative capacity, is how do you corral all those boys?
Gosh, that's a great question.
And get their attention and make them, and Kellyanne and Chris can speak to that. But that's, you know, as anyone who's been around children, I don't think you even have to be a parent. It's very impressive to see 100 boys paying attention.
How do you do that?
Well, you know, with lots of love and excitement and enthusiasm or something. I have to tell you, the greatest story to illustrate this was this weekend. We had our first concert at the Aronoff Center. We had a 2 o'clock and a 5 o'clock because we sold out our audiences. So we had 170 boys up on the stage, and they sang this beautiful concert, but then we had this in-between time. And so we actually had this beautiful relationship with the Contemporary Arts Center. So picture 170 boys presenting, you know, walking on stage the right way, singing beautifully, but then heading over to the Contemporary Arts Center with cookies and juice and art projects.
Yeah, and million-dollar artwork.
The Contemporary Arts Center was so awesome with us, and it was such a great way for them to experience a new space and blow off a little steam and eat cookies, again, the most important part of the boy choir, before we headed back, and they walked back on stage, and they were that pre-professional organization once again. So it's pretty exciting.
It's
pretty
one cool. of the things that really astounded me when I started working with the organization was that energy that can it sometimes feel a little bit unruly in rehearsals, then coming together, because when they get on stage, they know it's time to really perform, and it's really something to see.
Really cool. Let's talk with John. John, you're on Cincinnati Edition. We got about 40 seconds here, John. So what's your question?
Well, I was just stating I was in the original All City Boys Choir back
wow.
in the 60s out of Clifton School. There were four boys from each school. And one year we practiced up in the Board of Education building on Saturday mornings. And another year we practiced, I think, at Washburn School on Saturdays. Yeah, there was no real budget, but it was a great experience. Only fifth and sixth graders were taken back then, as I recall. But I have my certificate now. I found it the other day. My old certificate for being in that and singing in the May Festival was the Pied Piper of Hamelin. I remember singing that, and regardless, I just want to say I want to get on this list because my address has changed so many times that I want to join in the festivities.
You're one of those many alumni that we've been trying to track down, so it's great to hear from you.
Hang on the line. I think we can get that information. Thanks, John. We appreciate it. And let's hear a little more of the music of the Cincinnati Boy Choir. Kellyanne, Kathy, Chris, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
Cincinnati Boy Choir Artistic Director Christopher Eanes and Director of Education and Outreach Kellyanne Nelson and journalist Kathy Doan, author of the Cincinnati Boy Choir's 50-year history book, coming out next April. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The Cincinnati Edition theme music was composed by William White. The producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. The technical director was Bruce Ellis. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU.